We continue on learning the Linish Mastavia Ben Menachem Shemikam Yaakov Beperchav Soliyo. We're in Kalim Perchav Veiz Mishnah Dalet Kisei Shel Kala Shenitlu Chipuyav. This is a bridal chair. Bridal chair was fancy in the fact that it actually had armrests. It had a back, had panels on the sides. So what the Mishnah is saying is that it's still a seat. And the seats in those days were made typically by having three wooden slats, one right next to the other, and you could sit on that. But the bridal chair was fancy. There was a back to it. You can lean back on it. It had armrests. And it went all the way up in the back, maybe up to the head. So maybe was overlaid with different stones and wood, etc. So here the chipuyim, let's assume it's, let's say, the back and the armrests have been removed. It still can be used as a regular chair. Beishamai mitamin uveisilil mitarin. Beishamai says it's still mekabel tumah. After all, it's a chair. Regular chairs don't need side panels at all. It may not be a fancy bridal chair anymore, but it's still mekabel tumah. Beisils, no, it's not the mekabel tumah. You want it to be mekabel tumah mikanul haba from now on. Then you need to designate it as a regular chair. It was made. It was built as a bridal chair, and it can't be used. It's not beautiful anymore. It can be used as a bridal chair. It's not just a regular seat with no back, no armrest, etc. So therefore, it's not mekabel tumah. And Shammai Omer, Shammai himself, not Beis Shammai, but Shammai the teacher, the head of the school, he says, Af malbein shel kisei tameh. So Shammai has the most strict opinion. Shammai says this bridal chair is still mekabel tumah, not only if it's the side rest, the back are removed, but even if the slats of wood that people sit on are removed and all you have is the frame of the chair, you may fall through a little bit, but you could probably keep your balance. So you have the frame to sit on, then it's still a chair. It's still mekabel tumah. And of course, it's tumas midras because these are, because we're speaking about something that people sit on. Three-way machlokas. And the Mishnah now gives us another area of halacha because it's another example where we have a machlokas, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, and Shammai. Shammai being a third opinion who disagrees with Beis Hillel and even disagrees with his school. So Shammai, what's this case? Kisei shekva'o ba'areva. This is a wooden chair that was attached to the inside of a very large wooden trough, a kneading trough. And now you could still use the chair, but it's not so comfortable to sit in the trough sitting on this chair. So it's still, so it's fastened now to the inside. So what's the status of the chair? Is this the mekabel tumas medrash still? Is it going to be now part of the kneading trough and mekabel tumah like the wooden kneading trough, which is obviously is other types of tumah, not tumas medrash, because you don't sit inside in the kneading trough. It's used for other purposes. Beis Shammai mitamin. So Beis Shammai says it's going to be tameh. And Bar Tanur tells you why? Dilo batel kisei, the gabe arevi. We don't say that the kisei, the chair, is nullified to the trough. The chair, even though it's, most people probably wouldn't sit on it because you had to be sitting inside the trough. Nonetheless, it's still a chair and you could sit on it. Therefore, and it's not nullified to the areva, and therefore it's still mekabel tumas medras. Uveisil mitarin, Beisil says no, it's not mekabel tumas medras because it's, because no one's, most people won't sit on it. And it's attached now to the inside of this kneading trough, and therefore it mitarin from tumas midras, other types of tumah will receive it. Now it's part of the trough, so whatever types of tumah that is susceptible to, so this chair would be as well. And Shammai Omer af heosui ba. So Shammai has a big chiddush. Shammai says, not only is it mekabel midras, like Beis Shammai said, when you attach it, but even if I made a kneading trough from scratch, and I made a chair as part of it, and that chair, if I made it inside the kneading trough, it's probably not for sitting, it's probably for putting like a little shelf for the dough. Nonetheless, since it is, you could sit on it if you wanted to, even if you made it to begin with from scratch as part of the kneading trough, and it's a chair that people could potentially sit on, even though it's part of it, nonetheless, he says, it is mekabel tumas medras. One important question that the Mefarshim address is, let's think back to so many cases that we had. Take, for example, if we had a bowl, and you had a bowl and you attached it to one of these large wooden bins. So, okay, what's the status of the bowl, assuming it's upright? So we say, oh, well, if the bowl is still upright, he could still use it. So then it started as a kli. I know it's attached to a very large wooden closet that's not makabel tuma because it normally doesn't move around when it's full. It's not like a sock, as we mentioned many times. That bowl, because it started as a kli, although it's now fastened to this to the big closet, to the wooden closet, the bowl is still makabel tuma the way it was before. So why would this be any different? According to Beis Hillel, I have this kisei. It functioned as a kisei alone independently. Now you attach it to the kneading trough. So now why would we say that it's tahor from Tumas Midras? Why should this be any different? So one explanation is, this is not exactly like the bowl that was attached to the bin, to the wooden closet. Because here, it's difficult to use this. Most people would not use the chair in such a way. Inside the trough, it's uncomfortable to use it that way. And therefore, it won't need mekabel tumas medrash in this case. That bowl could be used perfectly the way it was used before, now that it's attached, so therefore it's still mekabel tuma. Now, this chair, not so much when it's inside the trough. Another explanation is that when it comes to the bowl, when I attached it to the closet, it's not secondary to the closet. I planned on using the bowl. Now it's just attached to the closet. When you put this seat and attach it now inside the trough, the point is that I plan on using it as a shelf for the dough. I don't plan on using it as a chair anymore. So therefore, Beis Hillel would say that it's Tahor from Tumas Midras. Perichov Beis, Mishnah Hey. He says, Shelo Hayu Chipuyav Yotz In. So here we're talking about, it is not a bridal chair, this is a regular chair. So this is our chair, there's no back, there are no armrests. This is simply three slats of wood. And the chair is such that you don't have legs of the chair. They have three panels, two on the side and one in the back. The front is open, almost looks like a stender, but the top is flat with three pieces of wood. So this kisei shelo ayu chipu av yotzim. Oh, so now imagine you could have a chair where the top slats are flush with the walls. That's one type. Or you could have, let's say, we have a stender, so we know that the stender obviously sticks out on either side, comes out on either side over the panels that you have on the side and in the back. Let's say those stenders, the large stenders people use on the table in some of the shuls. So the Mishnah is telling us, if I have a kisei chair, shelo yichupuv yotzim, which means that it's not like it's sticking, the panels, that the slats that you sit on are actually sticking out. They're flush with the walls. They're flush with the two panels on the side and the panel in the back. These three slats, and you sit on it the way it is. Vinitzlu. And now the chipuyim have been removed. The slats are no longer there, so you can't sit on it. You'll fall right through. There's not even a frame here. So the Mishnah says it's still tame. It's still mekabel tumas medrash. Why? Shekein darko lios matehu al sido v'yoshev alav. Because the derech is, people usually would take this, okay, I can't sit on it the way it is, so I put it on its side, and now I consider the way it is. Imagine those milk crates. So let's say one section, okay, you could sit on it as a chair. Okay, if one section came off, let's say one worn panel, okay, you tip it on the side, you could sit it in another way eventually. I mean, all the parts are gone, so then you can't. But if you have a couple of parts still remaining, so you can still use it as a chair. So just because the slats of this chair have been removed, so then it's not a problem. It's still mekabel tumas medrash. As opposed to where the chipuyim are yotzim. Let's say the slats that you sit on are not flush with the panels on either side. So you're sitting on the top of the chair and those slats stick out. So if those would fall off, you would say, hold on, I can still tip it because the slats are not there. And they were, so what, they were protruding. The answer is because when I made the chair to begin with, no one would ever think of turning the chair on its side because you can't. Because the slat, if you have it where it's flush, I could sit on it the way it is. And then I could turn it on its side if I wanted. So if the flats fall off, I'll use it, I'll tip it on its side, and then I can sit on another part, which was originally the panel, and now it's, the side panel, now it's the chair that my rear end is sitting on. But But when you have a chair where the slats that you sit in are sticking out, protruding out on either side, so no one's ever thinking of using it, of tipping it on its side to use, because then you can't sit on it. Those are in the way. So now that they've been removed, then we don't give it a status of Tumas Medrash, because when the chair was made, no one ever thought about inclining it on its side and using one of the side panels as the seat, and therefore it's not going to be mekabel tumah. So that's what the Mishnah says. If it's a kisi, shaloa yuchi puvyotan, only where the slats were not protruding and they were removed, then tameh, it retains its status of tumas medrash.